Okay, let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. Okay. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to testify to his grace to our campus fellowship during my senior year in college. Just to introduce myself real quickly, in case you don't know me yet, I'm Nathaniel. I was born in New Jersey, and I eventually went to the University of Illinois for college, and now I'm in the Washington, D.C. area for graduate school. The story I'm about to tell you the truth, I haven't really told that many people, even though I have told a few. In general, I've kept it to myself because a lot of things had happened, and I didn't really fully understand everything for quite a while. But it's been about 5 years since my senior year in college, and I don't think I'm going to understand it any better now. So hopefully I can present it to you well. Another reason was that I also feel like that I have a little bit of trouble doing justice and giving glory to God in this story, because every time I tell it, I feel like it's not the same, right? It's almost like you just have to be there to kind of know how all of us felt and how everything was like. But today, hopefully, I can still glorify God, even though I might not be able to tell it or give justice to the whole story. And I also don't know, one other reason I've also kept this sort of to myself is that I don't really know how much I can edify the brothers and sisters, because I know that many members do not really know what it's like to be in a remote area. But hopefully I can still edify some, and hopefully through the lessons that I've learned, you can also be edified. And I also find that today here at NYTS might be a good opportunity for me to share this story, because since it happened my senior year in college, I think it's relatable to you, and also it's also relevant to our theme of Need You to Serve. So to share with you a background of the University of Illinois, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is actually located in a very remote area. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from Chicago, and Chicago is the nearest city. Right? And it's a nice town. It's not as rural as I guess some people might think about it, right? We still have, you know, a movie theater, we have a mall, we have supermarkets like everyone else. The only thing is, you know, we have there's cornfield right next to the mall. And, you know, every so often when the south wind blows, you can kind of smell the farms down south, right? But University of Illinois is a really nice campus, and I chose to go there because I felt that going there, I would learn a lot more, right? Learn how to keep up my spiritual life better, also learn academically. And the University of Illinois also had a youth fellowship there. From what I understand, the youth fellowship there actually started years before I was there. There were four brothers who, from the East Coast, that decided to all go to the University of Illinois at the same time. And that's when the youth fellowship started. And a couple years later, I also got there. And the fellowship there had consistently about, 5 to 10 believers there. And every Sabbath, every Friday night and Saturday, we would have services, generally a Friday evening Bible study. And on Saturday mornings, we would have, we would listen to or watch a sermon recording. And then in the afternoon, we would also have another Bible study. So from my freshman year all the way to senior year, we had a fellowship. And even though the numbers changed every so often because people come and people go, but thank God we had a fellowship there and we all worshiped God together. But then by my junior year, I realized that I was the last freshman to enter the University of Illinois. During the 3 years that I was there, no other church member had decided to go to the University of Illinois. But at the time, it didn't really matter because we had a pretty strong fellowship. During my junior year, we had 5 members in the fellowship, and I roomed with 2 of them, and there were another 2 members, an older sister from Taiwan who was studying in graduate school, and then there was another brother who had just recently believed. But I roomed with 2 brothers, and these 2 brothers were really amazing workers. If you know them, right, they were amazing during their when they were in campus fellowship. Even now, I still feel like they're amazing workers, and undoubtedly they will be pillars in the future as well. So we had a really strong fellowship during my junior year, and I realized that I relied a lot on these 2 amazing brothers that I would also call my best friends, right? Because even though we had 2 Bible studies a week, but the 3 of us would rotate. So almost every week one of us would be leading Bible studies, and we would just keep going because that's how we kept up our faith, right? And then since we lived together every Wednesday evening, it was very easy to gather together to pray together. And it was a good time, right? And I usually have pretty fond memories of my junior year. But at the end of junior year, both of these brothers graduated and left, right? And I realized that it was just me and these 2 other members. And these 2 other members, they were good members, but at the same time, they weren't really in the serve stage of their life, right? One was a new believer, and every so often he might not show up to services. And then there was the older sister from Taiwan. She would only attend on Friday evenings, and she would not come on Saturdays because she preferred to spend most of her time on Saturdays to study. So when senior year came around, I felt very scared because I would be the only person to serve, right? And I had a lot of fears for myself because the 2 brothers that I had been serving with were now graduated. I would be alone and friendless. I was afraid that I myself would not be able to survive because, you know, the closest church is 2.5 hours away. How can anybody help me in this area? I had fears for the fellowship because I felt like all the pressure suddenly became on me, right? That I had all the responsibility for keeping this fellowship together, even though there's only 3 of us left. And I also had a resentment toward God, because throughout the 4 years that I was there, there were brothers who had applied to the university, even gotten accepted, but at the same time, they decided not to go. And when I first went to this university, I knew that this was a possibility, but I always thought that God would provide, right? But in the end, no one came, right? So I guess I had a certain resentment toward God because I didn't know why exactly I was there. But in the beginning of that year, the 3 of us gathered together for the first meeting, and it was a Friday night, and we all decided, you know, even though it's just the 3 of us, let's just keep going. Right. Let's keep having services, even though once the sister still would only attend on Friday evenings. But we decided we'll keep having Bible studies on Friday evening. We'll still watch sermons on Saturday mornings, and instead of having another Bible study, since we didn't have the manpower, in the afternoons we would just have prayer. And we decided we'll read the book of Matthew because it's a nice book to read. So after we started that first fellowship meeting, I actually received the contact information of a potential truth seeker. Right? Someone told me that there was a friend of a friend who was in town and asked me to contact her because she was possibly interested. Right? And I was like, man, I don't even like to talk to strangers, and I don't even know if this person speaks English. But I went ahead and called her, and I was like, ni hao, ni yao, like, geng wo men ju hui ma, right? And I didn't know what to say, but I was like, okay. And I sort of, through butcher Chinese, asked her to come. And she was like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that, right? And we picked her up, and she must have felt really weird because it was just, it was me and this other brother. The other brother had a car. And we picked her up, and we brought her to the apartment because we were meeting in an apartment, right? And it was just three of us, right? And I also felt really nervous because we were reading Matthew, and Matthew chapter 1 is about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? And I was leading Bible study, and I was like, man, this is not the right Bible study to lead this off with, right? But in the end, I got to know, we all got to know her background better, that she didn't really know Christianity that well. And so going through the genealogy, we were just basically saying, do you know this name? Do you know David, right? Or do you know Abraham, etc., right? And it sort of became like a true seeker class, even though we were reading or doing Bible study on Matthew chapter 1. But then that Bible study, she was telling us that she encountered a problem, right? That when she first got to the campus, she had already signed a contract with the apartment because she wanted to live there. But as a moving in gift, a friend of her gave her a cat, right? And it turned out that the apartment that she lived in did not allow pets. So what she decided to do was to sign with another apartment building and that allowed pets, and then she would live there. And she was planning to break her previous contract so that she can live in the new apartment. But I guess she didn't realize that she couldn't break her contract, right? And she had to basically pay for both apartment buildings apartment units at the same time. And she was looking for somebody to sublet, but the University of Illinois is really a campus town. So once the semester starts, there's no one would want to come in, right? So we're like, oh man, this is a tough problem. And you know, Lord, why wouldn't you bring this to True Seeker in, right? Why do you give us a problem right away? But we weren't really sure what to tell her. We were just like, okay, just pray about it. And she was like, oh, yeah, I've been praying about it, right? And we also just prayed together. So the next week, we decided to pick her up again to have her join Bible studies. And she was like, oh, good news, right? I already found a sublessee, right, to take my previous apartment. And I was like, oh, thank God, right? I didn't really know what to say because it kind of sounds corny to make a big deal of it or like to say more than that, right? But to me, I was just really surprised really amazed that God would answer the prayer so quickly, right? And then we had Bible study again, and that weekend we decided to have dinner together, and we got to know her even better because. And we had dinner together to celebrate a couple of things, right? That for her, getting a sublessee. The older sister also experienced grace from God that she was dealing with a grade change and was able to get it. And then I also received a provisional admittance letter from graduate school at that time. So we ate together, and I felt like, wow, we actually have a truth seeker to add to our fellowship. And thank God, because it was a while since we've had a truth seeker. After a couple months in November, we decided we would have a Thanksgiving dinner together, because since most of the people in our fellowship were from Taiwan, I guess they're not familiar with having Thanksgiving in November, right? So we thought, okay, it'd be nice to, you know, bake a turkey, just make a simple dinner together. And this first truth seeker then brought her friend, and we decided to have Thanksgiving dinner together, and it was just a lot of fun. But we thought, you know, it was just a activity, and we didn't really think much of it. It wasn't until after Thanksgiving break that this friend of the truth seeker also came to Bible study. And I was like, okay, I'm not really ready to take another, or like, I didn't really understand, right? Like, why would God bring another truth seeker? Because it's really a time for our fellowship to fall apart, not really be built up. But this truth seeker brought her friend, and she also came to Bible study. And then she also told us that she had a problem, right? That she was dealing with the financial services in University of Illinois for quite a while, right? That she was taking 10 credits of classes, and she decided to drop a class and add a class, and it became 8 credits, right? And she was fined $3,500 for changing classes, right? And she was like, that's kind of messed up. So she decided to write a complaint to the financial services about that. And she had written it early in the semester, and for 2 months, nothing had happened. Right? Actually, they charged her even more for not paying that $3,500 as a late fee. Right? And she was like, this was really bothering her a lot. And we're like, what can we really do about that? Let's just pray about it. And so the following Monday, she actually went to go see the financial services office. And since her English wasn't that great, she asked if I can join her to help her out. And when we met with the financial services, they were like, oh yeah, this $3,500 fine is not right. And they realized that what happened was that she turned from a full-time student to a part-time student. And then I guess because of that switch and transition, they thought that they had to charge her another $3,500, but it was actually a computer error that they charged her that extra money. Right? And so not only did she not have to pay that money or the late fee, but the whole thing was canceled, right? That all the money was, she did not have to pay, and she did not have to worry about it at all. And I guess when I was there, I was like, how is this so easy, right, that God would answer these prayers so quickly? And so even such a problem like that just resolved itself so easily. And so from then on, that second truth seeker started to join our Bible studies as well, very consistently on Friday evenings. And basically our Bible studies were really, I guess, really joyful, right? Even though it was a lot of work, but it was like a truth seeker class, and every time that we shared, I really felt that they were being edified. Later on, in the winter break eventually passed, and then we came back for a spring semester. And during the spring semester, about 2 weeks into the semester, the first truth seeker brought in another friend. Right. And I realized that our fellowship had doubled. And when I thought about that, I guess I was really shocked, right? Because the whole time I thought that I was just here to survive this 1 year, but God just gave us three true seekers in 1 year. And it's not like I did anything, right? It just, true seekers just came in and in. And when this third true seeker came in, she also had a problem, right? And she was saying that she was feeling a lot of anxiety for being in the graduate program that she was in. In the end, she didn't really stay long because I guess the answer to her prayer for that anxiety problem was to go back to Taiwan. So she stayed with us for about 2 months and then returned home. But I was really amazed that, you know, that at one point God just doubled our fellowship, even though I don't know how, right? I should also mention the stories about these two other members that were there with us. I mentioned about this older sister from Taiwan, and that she didn't come on Friday evenings. Right? And I remember one time in October, I had a lot of trouble sleeping. And one of the reasons I had trouble sleeping was that I was just thinking about this sister, right? That, I don't know. I don't know why I was so bothered, but I just thought that, because she's about the age, well, she's not that old, but she could almost be my mom, right? And I was just thinking that she was working really, really hard for her graduate studies, and that's why she decided not to come on Saturdays to join us for services. But I thought, you know, what if she really were my mom, right? And I saw my mom working so hard and not coming to services, right? Would I not say something about it? Would I not do something about it? And I remember that I usually sleep early, right? But then I couldn't sleep for 2 hours. And then she called me during those 2 hours saying that, you know, could I come by the following day to help her with a few things? Because being a student, being from Taiwan, she also needed some help with English stuff, right? So the next day, yeah, I went over and tried and helped. And I didn't really know what to say, but I just told her, you know, it would be really great if you could join us on Saturdays. And she felt really bad about it, but she said, really, I can't, right? I really need to study. And I thought, okay, that's your choice, that's fine, right? And so for that whole year, she did not come to Saturdays for service. But I found out a year later that a preacher had gone to Champaign to visit. And when he visited it, I don't know really what happened, but from that day forth, after that minister visited, she started to attend Saturday morning services every week from then on. Right? And it wasn't until actually a couple months ago that I heard from someone who had visited her in Taiwan that she remembered that day when I actually mentioned that to her. Right? And even though that day I didn't realize the fact or what, I just thought, you know, I just did my best and you know, whatever was her decision was her decision, but I didn't realize that actually that was one of the starting points. Right? And so even though the sister's faith also grew a lot during the years that she was in Champaign, and I really thank God, right? Because from before she came to the university to after she came to the university, I really saw her grow a lot, right? And then finally, the last member of our fellowship was a new believing brother, and he had just been baptized for I think 2 years, right? And I mentioned that sometimes he didn't really attend services either, But during the beginning of the year, he said, you know, why don't we have Bible studies at my apartment, right? Because the apartment that I was living in was kind of smaller and darker, right? But he had a really nice apartment, and he also had the car, right? So we decided that we would have hold our fellowship at his place. And he not only mentioned that, but he also said, you know, if you need help, why do I help you with Bible study, right? But he didn't really have the Holy Spirit at the time, and he really didn't have experience leading Bible study. So even though I gave him a short Bible study training, but we decided that if I could lead Bible studies, then I would do it. But this brother really became a comfort to me because I saw him become not only a brother, but he became a coworker, right? And it really alleviated a lot of burden to me because I had someone to talk to about things. And he just became a really, really good friend, right? Because we worked together and we cared about the fellowship together. And I guess it was a difference between before that year and during that year that I saw him also grow to serve, right? And to do his best to always serve. And he always kept his apartment really, really clean, which I was really impressed with too, right? And he can also cook, right? So, after the year passed though, I was graduating and this brother would still be there, be at the university, and so would the two tree seekers that had remained, and so would the older sister. And I felt that when I left, what would happen to all these members, right? Or at least all these people in our fellowship. And that's when this brother decided to go to NYTS, right? And it was NYTS 2007. He came. I also came as a counselor and was here in Hillsboro. And during that time, we really prayed that he would receive the Holy Spirit, because we knew that he would need it. And God answered that prayer too. It's just like perfect timing that when he needed it to lead the fellowship, God gave him the Holy Spirit at the right time. And from then on, I felt really relieved because I knew that God would take care of everything. And then, I guess the story for myself, I told you how I had a lot of fears in the beginning of NYTS, a lot of fears at the beginning of the year, right? And, but I realized that even though that year was so difficult, I felt so much pressure because I felt that, you know, all the responsibility had come upon me, right? That what happens if I fail to lead Bible studies right, right? What happens if I did something wrong? What happens if I don't pray enough? What happens if, you know, there's so many things that could go wrong? And I realized how vulnerable the fellowship was. And so I felt a lot of pressure, right? But I realized that during that year, I really learned how to serve, right? That because I cared so much, right, that it really drove me to pray. And every day I would pray, and I realized it was so easy to pray, right, because there was just so many things on my mind. Every day I would pray for every member in the fellowship. And I found it easy to fast and pray too, right? So before then, usually, you know, to pray 10 minutes a day, I find, even though I had a habit, but I didn't really see how people can pray longer on a daily basis. But during that year, I just found it so easy to just keep praying, right? And I realized that God was just teaching me to care, and then to pray, and then to serve. So I mentioned that I was really worried about the fellowship, about when I would leave, right? And I was going to graduate school, and at the time I was thinking maybe I should just stay in Illinois, because if I leave, there would be no one to really take care of all these people in the fellowship. And I applied to nine programs, and in the end I got into three, and finally I chose to go to Baltimore near the Washington D.C. area. And when I look back in my journal, I realized that the school that I'm now at was actually second to last in my choices, or in my own ranking. But at first I really wanted to stay, because I thought that, you know, I needed to help the fellowship here. Who's going to take care of the fellowship when I'm gone? But there was one, in the spring, the school required us to go visit before they would accept us, right? So I decided to go visit. And when I went there, I realized that my concept, or my impression of going to the Baltimore area was changed. Because when I went to the school, I realized that it was just perfect for what I was looking for in a graduate program. And then I also went to the DC services on that day. A sister picked me up, and then we picked up her adorable little brother, and then we went to services together. And there were only 15 people there, but I realized that that I could really be here and serve there too. But I was still worried about the fellowship in Champaign. But then I realized that it's not really for me to take care of, right? It's really God to take care of. And in the end, that prayer was answered during the NYTS 2007. So a year later, I went to the graduation ceremonies of the two Tree Seekers. And it turned out that the end of the fellowship came to a perfect end, right? That the two Tree Seekers graduated at the same time. The older sister also graduated near the same time. And the brother, the new believing brother who eventually took up the fellowship, decided to transfer out to where a church, to a place closer to church. And so one Tree Seeker right now is in Indiana University, or University of Indiana. She is not a believer yet, but I still pray for her. Right? And there's the other Tree Seeker is in Taiwan and also not yet a believer. But the older sister also returned to Taiwan, and I hear that she's doing very well, that her faith has been very strong. And this new believing brother is actually among the East Coast churches, and he's doing pretty well as well. So even though God has shown us many blessings during the time, but I think the greatest blessing that I saw was that all of us grew so much, right? That from the beginning of the fellowship to the end of the fellowship, we actually really knew God better and drew closer to him. So I'd just like to share a couple of lessons that I learned during that year, that over the years that I've been thinking about it a lot, and that I realized, right? But I guess one case is that, you know, no situation is hopeless. I think a lot of times we feel that the situation of the church or the situation of our fellowship might be poor or might not be what we expect. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that God can do beyond what we think or what we ask, right? And so we haven't even touched how much God can do. God can do so much more than we can ever see. I guess the second lesson that I learned was that, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be in the midst of him. Because even though there were just a few of us in the fellowship, but every Bible study, I just felt the righteousness, peace, and joy. And it was like the ideal church setting to me, right? I guess the third lesson is that evangelism is actually easy when God is working, right? Sometimes we worry a lot about evangelism, but it's really when God works that people come in. And I tell you that I did nothing, right? I really did nothing. And our fellowship doubled, and I just don't know how that happened, but when God is working, evangelism is actually pretty easy. Fasting prayer is also very powerful, but at the same time, it is really only in a crisis situation that it works. And I realized that for me, I felt like I was in a crisis, and I had to pray, I had to fast. Sometimes we fast here, and it's a good training for us, but when we're at home and we realize that there's a fasting, there is a crisis situation, let us fast. But I guess the most important lesson is really to care more, to pray more, and to serve more. Right? Some people care, but they don't pray, and they don't serve. Or I guess in some ways, some people pray and they serve, but they don't really care. And you can tell in their prayer, in their service. Right? Some people care, and some people serve, but they don't pray. And at the same time, you realize that they may lead in the wrong direction. And then there are some people who may care and pray, but don't serve. And you realize that their power is also not enough, right? So in Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, verse 5, it says that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And in many ways, I see that as caring more, praying more, and serving more. And sometimes it's really a choice, right? A choice to care. Sometimes we don't care, but at the same time, it's really whether or not you want to care or not. Right? And if we choose to care, we can see that we have more power in prayer and also more power to serve. So I guess just to conclude, we know that NYTS means need you to serve, right? But I think the real lesson is that God, or it's really need you to care. Right, or need you to pray, and then need you to serve. Right? It really starts with caring, that we're able to pray, and then we're able to serve. So I hope, as I mentioned, I don't know how well I can glorify God or edify people, but may God's name be glorified, and may all the brothers and sisters be edified.